Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank you for our radio program that goes out to all the earth. We thank you for our internet ministry that died. We thank you, Father, for being so good to us in this congregation. We thank you for our radio program that goes out to all the earth. We thank you for our internet ministry that touches millions of souls every year. We're thankful, Father, for the ability to feed the poor and the 150,000 meals that we serve here every year. Thank you for making all of this possible, for only you can do this. Thank you, Father, again for your love. In Christ's name we pray, amen. We also want to remember in our hearts and prayers all these people involved in Ebola. Guys, use a hand sanitizer. It's all out in the front. It's all downstairs. When you shake everybody's hands around here, or even if you don't shake hands, you touch doorknobs, you touch this, that, use that hand sanitizer. For God's sake, so the cleanliness is next to godliness. Use that hand sanitizer and don't get Ebola or anything else. Last week, we started on a lesson that we didn't even get halfway through, and we're going to start back on it again, and we're going to do an overview of that part which we covered so much of last week, but we're going to try to finish it up this week, and that is from Isaiah chapter 2, but we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 16, studying about the church. We'd like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to the regular worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We'd like to welcome Radio North Texas, 1630 AM Radio North Texas. We're on again at 5 p.m. today on Radio North Texas. Radio Abilene, Radio Searcy, Arkansas, covering all of Arkansas. Radio Oklahoma City, covering all of Oklahoma. Radio Kansas City, covering Kansas and Missouri. Mobile, Alabama, Pensacola, Florida, Shreveport, Louisiana, Augusta, Georgia, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Nashville, Tennessee. We go out of there on a 50,000-watt blaster that covers all of Tennessee, Kentucky, and Alabama. And then we're on two stations going worldwide on Worldwide Christian Radio, 100,000-watt stations we're on. And the first time we cover the entire earth, we get North and South America, Europe, Africa, all of Asia, Russia, Japan, all of the Pacific. Then the second time, we only miss the Pacific. We get North and South America, Europe, Africa, Russia, and half of India and all the Middle East. And so our worldwide Christian radio reaches out to many, many, many. We have 7,600 home churches that are worshiping with us, and we have 6,742 that streamed with us this past month, home churches. One little home church, the Baker Home Church, Joey Baker, started out a man and his wife, and they've got 15 worshiping in their home now in an area where there isn't any Churches of Christ. Our website had 165,000 hits last month, and we downloaded 25,000 sermons. That is 6,000 sermons a week, 1,000 sermons a day people are listening to on our radio, on our website. And we'll always be thankful for you, Stephanie, for putting that together, because we wouldn't have it without you. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 15. He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Jesus has asked the apostles who people are saying that he is. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now this is called a good confession. We have to make this good confession. in order to be a Christian, in order to become a Christian, we have to be make this good confession, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter. And that word in the Greek is Petros. It's a feminine gender word. It means a tiny little stone, a little pebble, like getting a little pebble in your shoe, a little bitty rock in your shoe. Thou art Peter, Petros. But upon this Petra, upon this rock, a separate word, entirely different Greek word, a masculine gender word, meaning bedrock, meaning the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon that confession, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm telling you, we're on the offense, guys. We're kicking in the gates of hell. We're going to all the world. We're trying to reach every creature. We're sending the gospel out on the radio to all the earth today. And every church of Christ should be doing that. We all should be doing that. All Christians should be going to all the world and preaching to every creature. Turn with me now to Isaiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. The word of Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. So this prophecy that we are going to study today has to do with two main things. Judah, the tribe of Judah, and the city of Jerusalem. Now the promise had been made in Genesis 49:10, that the scepter shall not depart from Judah. A scepter is what a king carries in his hand, a king's staff. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. Lawgiver means the ability to carry out capital punishment. The king in Judah will always be able to say, take that guy out and chop his head off. And the guards will get him and take him right on out. And he can go screaming and a kicking and a hollering for an appeal, but there wasn't no appeal. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver the ability to carry out capital punishment from between his feet until Shiloah come. Shiloah is, this is from Genesis 49:10-11. Shiloah means to him to whom it belongs, to him who the scepter really belongs to him who's really able to carry out capital punishment, binding his foal to a vine and his ass's colt to a choice vine. When this Messiah comes, when this King of Kings and Lord of Lords comes, it's going to have something to do with a donkey, the colt, the foal of an ass. Two animals. Not only is it the mother, the ass, but the colt is going to be there too. So we see now in Isaiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Now notice that last days, it doesn't have it has an S after it. Doesn't say last day, does it? This is not the end of the world. This is not Jesus coming back again. This is the last age. This is from the day of Pentecost until the coming again of Christ. I'm going to prove that to you today. This is not the first age, was from the creation to the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. The second age was from the law of Moses, from the giving of the law to the cross. The final age, the last days, the last age is from the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the crucifixion, until the coming again of Christ at the end of time. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Now we get a metaphor. At the mountain of the Lord's house. Now this place, God is speaking to us in picture language. And he says that this Lord's house that he's going to build, this temple, this new kingdom of God, this church of Christ that's coming, is going to be like a mountain that fills the entire earth. It's going to be the mountain of the Lord's house. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Now we're going to start looking at different metaphors that are found in this first verse in Isaiah 2:2, and we're going to understand, find the meaning of these different metaphors. The first one being last days. So where do we find a metaphor on that? In Acts chapter 2, verse 16, Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and he says, "But this is that, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, the baptism of the Holy Spirit being poured out upon the apostles, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel in Joel 2, 28 and following. And it shall come to pass, and when? The last days." Isaiah had said what was going to happen. "And it shall come to pass in the last days at the mountain of the Lord's house." And here Peter says that this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh." Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. "God, who at sundry times, in different times, and in divers manners..." Now what that means is in Isaiah 28, God uses this same kind of term. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. What he's saying is that I've given you a little information from Moses. I've given you a little information from Isaiah. I've given you a little information from Joel. I've given you a little information from Daniel. I've given you some information from Jeremiah. I've given you some information from all these different prophets, line upon line, precept upon precept, one Holy Spirit speaking throughout all those years, to all those prophets. He's given us a little information to this prophet, a little information to that prophet, a little information to this other prophet, and you take it and you add it all up, and then you got what God says. If you want to know what God says about being saved, you don't just take one verse and say, that's it. In Romans 8, it says we're saved by hope. And so we could start, say, hey, let's start the Hope Church. Here's what we'll do. We'll start raising a lot of money, and a preacher get himself a brand new Cadillac, and we'll start this is the Hope Church, and we'll hope we're saved. And we're going to put all our faith and all our trust in that hope of that preacher and that new Cadillac that we'll be saved. Let's don't do that, okay? Let's don't do that. Let's take instead everything that God said about being saved. Let's add it all together and let's do that, understanding that the old law has passed away and what matters is the New Testament, the new covenant, the new Jerusalem that we're fixing to see. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times, different times, and in diverse manners, many a time and many a parts, what that means in the Greek, spake in times past to the fathers of the Jews. How did he speak? He spoke by the prophets, hath, past tense verb, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. There's last days again. There's last days again. That's not just once. That's twice I've showed you that the last days are not at the end of time. It is the Christian age. How does Jesus speak during this Christian age? Well, he speaks through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and he speaks through all of the books of the New Testament that he inspired the apostles to write. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom who he has appointed heir of all things. And he's divine, because notice what it says next, by whom also he made the worlds. We have a God who speaks. He speaks to us in these last days by his Son in the New Testament. Isaiah 2:2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house. So the second metaphor that we're looking at is mountain of the Lord's house. So where do we find that? In Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7, he says, and even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. He's going to build a new temple. It's going to be a brand new temple. It's going to be called the Church of Christ. It's going to be a house of prayer. And their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar. There's going to be a new kind of altar there. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. It's going to have all races, all manner of people from all over the world is going to be in it. Isaiah 2, verse 28. Now Nebuchadnezzar's had a dream, and Daniel's telling him what his dream is. He says, but there is a God of heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Here's this term again. Last days, latter days, same term in Hebrew. Last days. What does it mean? Come to pass in latter days. Thy dream and thy vision upon thy bed were these. So the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had was about what was going to happen in the latter days. And he saw an image that had a head of gold. And Daniel tells him, you're the head of gold. The Babylonian Empire is the head of gold. Had a chest of silver. The Medo-Persian Empire is the next empire. Then it had a body of brass. The Greek Empire under Alexander the Great's the next empire. And then finally it had legs of iron, of clay, and that's the Roman Empire. So this image represented the four kingdoms who have had hegemony over all of the earth, and there's never been anybody else that's ruled the world. The United States of America has not done it. Nazi Germany did not do it. Napoleon did not do it. England did not do it, even though the flag of England went everywhere all over the world. They didn't rule the world. There's never been other kingdoms to rule the world since the end of the Roman Empire. Verse 35. Then was the iron, the clay, and the brass, and the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like chaff of the summer threshing floors, and was carried away, and no place was found for them, for worldly kingdoms. And the stone, now we got a brand new metaphor that's been introduced, And the stone, new metaphor, the stone that smote the image became what? A great mountain. We already had that metaphor. So stone and mountain means the same thing. And mountain and Lord's house means the same thing, we're going to find out. Became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This Church of Christ is going to fill the whole earth. It's going to go out to all the entire world. And you're part of it doing so. So stone and mountain are interchangeable words. Verse 44. And in the days of these kings, the Roman Empire, during the days of the Roman Empire, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. What's the kingdom of God? It's the church. What's the church? It's the church of Christ. If you're worshiping some place that did not begin during the days of the Roman Empire, you're worshiping at the wrong place. You need to be at a place that began in the days of the Roman Empire. Now, how did the Church of Christ begin during the days of the Roman Empire? Well, in Romans 16:16, it says, "Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." There's the church that began during the days of the Roman Empire. In Psalms 118, we see Jesus tell us that that stone, it's a prophecy of Jesus, the stone which the builders refused, the Jews and the Pharisees and all those refused, the Messiah has become the headstone of the corner. It's the Lord's doing, it's marvelous in our eyes. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14, "And he shall be for a sanctuary and for a stone of stumbling, for a rock of offense, to both the house of Israel and a gin and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." Some people are going to stumble and trip up on this Messiah. They're going to lay a trap for him, and it's going to be a gin and a snare, and they're going to get caught in their own trap. Jesus is going to become a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to some people. Those people who refuse him and reject him, he's going to become a stone of stumbling to them, and he's going to do away with them. In Isaiah 28, verse 16, "Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not make haste." Now, Jesus uses this metaphor of Psalms 118 in Matthew 21, and we're going to skip over that, and we're going to go down to Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. Acts 4:11. Speaking of Jesus, "But this is a stone which was set at naught of you builders." Peter and the apostles are talking to the head Sanhedrin court. He says, "This is the one set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other." Muhammad ain't going to get it. Buddha ain't going to get it. Jim Jones is not going to get it. Kelly Lawson will not get it. Billy Graham will not get it. Are you listening to me? There's only one person that's going to get it. There's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. "This is the stone which set at naught of you builders, become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And we see what that name is in Acts 11. It says, "When the Gentiles received the word of God, they sent them Peter, John." In Acts 11, verse 26, it says, "And the disciples were first called," what? Again. Christians at Antioch. They weren't called Baptists there, were they? They weren't called Methodists there, were they? These are names of men. These are names of something other. But in all things, Christ should have what? Preeminence, first place. Don't call yourself nothing but what? Christians. You're Christians and Christians only. In Ephesians 2:19 through 22, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and with the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He's the stone that the building is built upon, that rests upon it. In whom all the building fitteth frame together, groweth unto a holy temple into the Lord, in whom also you are builded together to God for a habitation of God through the Spirit. The Shekinah righteousness of God, which was really just the Holy Spirit of God, dwelt above the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies in the Old Temple. The righteousness of God, the Shekinah righteousness of God, the same thing, the Holy Spirit, now dwells where? What does the Bible promise us? Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Spirit. God used to live in a temple made with hands that men built that was a shadow of the new thing to come, and he now lives in the hearts of all Christians. If you're a Christian, God is living in your heart. Be a habitation that's a living place of God through the Spirit. How do you know, preacher, that you're interpreting all these things right? Well, Peter does it all for me. Peter takes all these verses and quotes them in 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll begin in verse 5. So this is an inspired apostle telling you, old Kelly's telling you right this morning. You also are living stones. Those stones that were in that temple were dead stones. We're living stones. Living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Every Christian is a king and a priest unto God. You think you got it bad in life? Man, if you'll be a Christian, you can be a king and you can be a priest for all of eternity. You can amount to something. The worst of you can amount to something. Wherefore it is also contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, Isaiah 28:16, elect and precious, and he that believeth shall not be confounded. But to you therefore that believe, he is precious, and to them that be disobedient, the stone which the builders disavowed, Psalms 118:22, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, Isaiah 8:14, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word. There are going to be people that are going to get tripped up over the word. Dennis the Menace has been sending me emails. You know the Mad Baptist that I told you about? He's been sending me emails. Now he thinks he's got me trapped, but I've got him going. I've got him going. And so he swore to me, he says, I believe in salvation by faith alone. And I said, no, you don't. No, you don't believe in that. Oh, yeah, I do. I know what I believe. And I said, you do not believe in salvation by faith alone. Yes, I do. I believe in salvation by faith alone. I said, you don't believe in that. He said, why? I said, you believe in salvation by belief too. Don't you think a person's got to believe? Well, belief and faith, same thing. I said, no, no, they're two different Greek words. See, I can believe that Jesus died on the cross and never put any faith and trust and confidence in it. So you got to believe and have faith. I said, now let me ask you one more question. Do you have to repent to be saved? Do you have to change your mind about your wickedness? He said, oh yeah, of course. I said, so then you don't believe in faith, salvation by faith alone. Let me ask you one more question. Do you have to confess Christ as Lord? Well, yeah. I said, so see, you don't believe in faith alone. You don't believe in salvation by faith alone. The one thing you don't believe in is baptism. But you do believe in all those other four things. You just leave baptism out. Now, what if baptism is for the remission of sins, like the Bible says? And you teach somebody they don't have to be baptized, and they die before they're baptized, do you think God's going to leave their sins on them, or do you think there's any chance they're going to put them on you? You being the false teacher or not. Brethren, it's really important that we not twist these words of God, that we have a proper understanding of these words of God. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. There's thousands of sermons on there, thousands of links, all kinds of singing. Get right on there and get yourself a college education. In 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul says, but if I tarry long, that thou mightest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God. What is the house of God? The mountain of the Lord's house? What is the house of God? Which is, it tells you right here, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. So what is the mountain of the Lord's house? It's the church of Christ. Isaiah 2:2, that metaphor, all nations. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. All nations. In Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus said, and Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach, disciple ye, is the word in Greek, mathaneuro, to make a believer out of people. Teach who? All nations. Not just white folks. Not just black folks, not just yellow folks in China. Everybody. Indians too. Everybody. We're all of one blood. If I miss you in Christ, I told that Baptist, I said, I'm going to tell you something, brother. I hope the best for you. I hope you that you save someday. But you and I both know that you being a false teacher and all, you're going to have to repent to do that. But I hope the best for you. But if I miss you in Christ, I picked you up in Noah. We're all of one blood. We're all of one family. We're all of one people. It doesn't matter how we are right now today. That's a result of our environment, where we've lived, where we've eaten, where our families have been. I'm telling you, if you go up and live in Scandinavia and eat seals, You're going to be blonde-headed and light-skinned, and you're not going to have no color whatsoever to your skin. And if you go to China and you eat fish heads and rice, you're going to have slant eyes, and you're going to be yellow, people. It's the way it's going to be. And if you come to America and you eat buffalo, and that's all you eat, you're going to be an Indian. That's all. That's it, man. That's where we come from. We're all of one blood and all of one people. Go ye into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even the ends of the world. The gospel is universal. It's for all people in all nations. In Mark 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. There we go again. This is another one for Dennis the Menace. Here's another. Now the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But our Baptist friends says, he that believeth and is saved should be baptized. It don't say that, does it? It doesn't say he that believeth and is saved should be baptized. Now our Catholic friends and the people that sprinkle little bitty babies, they say he that's born and is baptized is saved and someday shall grow up to believe. It don't say that either, does it? See, you have to know what you're doing to be baptized, or baptism don't mean a thing. If you don't have belief in the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you don't have saving faith, that is trust with reliance in Christ to save you, if you have not repented of your sins and confessed Christ as Lord, you can go down that water up here 1,000 times and get yourself all the soap that you want, and you can't wash them sins away. Only God can wash your sins away. And let's let God do it. Let's let God wash our sins away. In Isaiah 2:3, and he will teach us of his way. Isn't it wonderful? We have a divine teacher. I was taught by God. And you guys are getting taught by God. And if you're taught by anybody else other than God, you're taught by the wrong person. You're taught by the wrong person. Because the book tells us right here, and he, God, will teach us of his ways. Isaiah 2:3, and many people should go and say, come, ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. What does that mean? It means the church of Christ, to the house of the God of Jacob. What does that mean? It means the church of Christ. That's exactly what it means. The mountain of the Lord's house, to the house of God of Jacob. And what? And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. Now, how does God teach us of his ways? In John 6, verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. As it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. You either taught of God or you taught wrong. They shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. in Isaiah 54:13, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Isaiah 2:3. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house of God of Jacob. That's the church of Christ. That's talking about us right now today. That's not talking about the end of the world. And it's talking about right now today. Let's do it today. To the house of God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. We want to learn to live like Christ and be like Christ and stop sinning to the best of our ability. We're not ever going to be perfect, but we need, every time we goof, we need to repent. Every time we goof, we need to say, I'm sorry. Every time we goof, we need to tell God, hey, forgive me. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, here we got two new metaphors. The law. Do you know that there's a law in the New Testament? Yeah, there is. There's a law in the New Testament. James 1:25 says, but whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, him being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. James 2:8, but if you fulfill the royal law, why is it called a royal law? Because it was given to us by the king himself. Jesus himself gave us this law. But if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, thou doest well. Now Jesus was on Mount Zion in Jerusalem teaching in the temple, and he taught this beginning in Matthew 22, verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Zion, what is the Christian Zion, and the results of going forth of this new law, we're going to see in Isaiah 2:3. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. He's a divine teacher that teaches us in the New Testament how we ought to act and what we ought to do. For out of Zion shall go forth the law. From the Temple Mount there in Jerusalem is going to go forth the law. And the word of the Lord, another metaphor, word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So we're going to add Zion and word of the Lord. But it's got to go out of Jerusalem because that is where in Isaiah 2:1 it said the prophecy was about Judah and Jerusalem. Okay, here we go. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Hebrews 12, verse 22. But ye are come to Mount Zion. See, that's spelt with an S. In the New Testament Greek, it's spelt with an S. Zion is. In the Old Testament Hebrew, from Hebrew into English, it's spelt with a Z. But it's the same thing. Exact same thing. But you are come out of Mount Zion and into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. You are come unto Mount Zion. The law was given at Mount Sinai in the Old Testament. The gospel was to go forth from Mount Zion, that is, from Jerusalem. In Psalms chapter 2, verse 5, which is a psalm about how the enemies of God kill the Messiah. Go home and read it and study it. Psalms chapter 2, verse 5. Then shall he speak, then shall God speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. He's going to give them 40 years to repent from 30 A.D. from the cross until 70 A.D. when he destroys Jerusalem. He's going to give them 40 years to repent, but then in 40 years, he's going to stomp on them and he's going to make mud out of them. He's going to grind them to powder. He's going to get them in 40 years. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. No matter what they've done, they've crucified the Christ. They've murdered him. They beat him. They put a crown of thorns on him. They've drove nails through his hand and his feet and stuck a spear in his side and buried him in a tomb. And yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. No matter what they do, he's going to raise up Christ and set his king on his holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord is said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. That's who Jesus is. The Son of God. The Son of the living God. The one that God raised up and set upon his holy hill of Zion. In Joel 2, verse 32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now this is a prophecy of the day of Pentecost right after the crucifixion of Christ. And it says in that prophecy that the prophets are going to teach, the apostles are going to teach people how to call on the name of the Lord. Now, how do you do that? Do you say, Yeshua? Yeshua bar Elohim. Yahweh. How do you call on the name of the Lord? Jesus. Is that the way? How do you call on the name of the Lord? You got to do something. You got to do what Peter told you to do in Acts chapter 2. That's how you call on the name of the Lord. And what did Peter tell you to do? He said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you do that, the Bible says that there's only going to be a remnant, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Most people are not going to believe that. Most people are going to be like old Dennis Semenis. They're going to say, I don't care what the Bible says. You can take an axe and 2 38s, and I'll never believe. They'll scratch it out of their Bibles. They'll fight from now on. Most people are not going to believe. Only a remnant, a few people, will come to the Lord the way the Lord tells them to come. in Isaiah 59, verse 20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and to them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in my mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed. Now, to those of us who become Christians, we become Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So that's talking to us too. And thy seed, nor out of thy mouth of thy seed, seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth even forever. Hebrews 12:22. But you are come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable company of angels. This is used as a type or a symbol of the kingdom of heaven. The heavenly Jerusalem, this heavenly city where the Lord dwells and is our eternal home, is coming to Christ. We have come to the covenant which gives us a right to that place and that city. So we now, if we're Christians, have a right to a place in this heavenly Jerusalem. The heavenly Jerusalem, the heavenly city, is where our Lord dwells and is going to be our eternal home. In coming to Christ, we have come unto a covenant which gives us the right to a place in that city. And an innumerable company of angels. There's just plumb full of angels. Verse 23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. The general assembly and church is the universal church of Christ. The firstborn sons in Israel inherited the birthright, but all the saints in the church of Christ have the birthright and hence are called firstborn. Which are written in heaven, that clause, which are written in heaven, we are enrolled not on an earthly register like here at Main Street Church of Christ, but our names are written in heaven. And to God, the judge of all, who will inflict judgment in behalf of his persecuted church. And to the spirits of just men made perfect, to the fellowship of all the sainted dead, now perfect and above. Hebrews 10:24. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. To Jesus, we have come now to have fellowship with Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, as Moses was of the old. To the blood of sprinkling, to Christ's atoning blood, by which our hearts are sprinkled from an evil conscience. That speaketh better things than that of Abel. Abel's blood cried for vengeance out of the ground when God heard him, but Christ's blood pleads for mercy. It's exactly opposite. How wonderful it is. Innocent Abel's blood cried for vengeance, and Christ's blood pleads for mercy. Mercy for people like me that don't have it coming. What are y'all going to do about it? Now's the time. We can't fool around no longer. This jig right here's up. Either you believe the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You put your faith and your trust and your confidence in God to save you. If you're willing to repent of your sins, you can do that right now. If you're ready to make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you can just march right down here to the front and meet me down here to the front, and you can repent of your sins and have all your sins washed away. If you're ready to become a Christian, won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Meet you there, he intercedes for you. Lift up your voice, leave it in your prayer, and he can fight for you. Kneel at the cross,
I saw you fall.